Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
In 1 hour at 4 on a Wizards Wednesday, ahead of the Blitz, we'll give away Wizards tickets. Somebody's going to win a pair today in the good seats. Welcome back, Grant and Danny on the Fan.
I want to remind you that as Washington continues to build the foundation of success on and off the field this season, it's time for you, yes, you, to plan for your future as well. As the exclusive sponsor of our show, the law firm of Condori and Morad can help you update your last will and testament or set up a revocable trust for you and your family. Schedule a free consultation with their estate planning attorneys today by visiting kmlawyers.com. Be sure to tell them that us, Grant and Danny, we sent you. That's kmlawyers.com.
We got an event on Friday night. It's already sold out, so you can't come if you don't have tickets. We're going to be giving away a pair of tickets on every show tomorrow, so you better listen to the station for the tickets to 106.7 The Fan Live, because Tally Ho Theater is already going to be packed to the gills.
Yes, indeed.
But it's going to be a lot of fun, and we're very excited to be up on stage taking part in the event with the Junkies, with B. Mitch and Finley, with all the producers that work so hard here at the station. So going to be a good time. But I tell you this to tell you that because we'll be out at Tally Ho Theater for the event on Friday, we are taking the show on the road for a Friday field trip series. We're going to be at Green Tree Tavern, and you can come by and hang out with us there. You don't need a ticket for that.
You can go to that.
2 to 6:30, Green Tree Tavern in Leesburg, right on King Street. Beautiful little strip right there, downtown in Leesburg. I've been to Green Tree Tavern. It's awesome. So come on out on Friday to get ready for 106.7 The Fan Live as we are there on site at Green Tree Tavern. Good update there from Byron. Thank you to him for doing that. I heard him mention Mike McCarthy has pulled his name out of the hat for coaching jobs, and he's going to focus on next year's openings.
That is adorable.
It's really funny to
me. Isn't that precious?
Now, I guess someone could say he could have gotten the Saints job, and he's choosing not to get the Saints job, although it does sound like they're zeroing in maybe on Kellen Moore anyway, but this is... It's just one of those things that's so funny to me.
I love this.
It's like the water carrying that reporters do where it's like they're just so quickly to get ahead of. Like, it's not that no one chose Mike McCarthy. Mike McCarthy is taking his name out of consideration for coaching jobs, plural, this year. By the way, there's one left. It's the Saints. and they just interviewed Kellen Moore for the second time and haven't yet interviewed McCarthy for a second time. And again, maybe he told him he doesn't want to interview. That's fine. But they're acting as though with six openings out there and McCarthy with nine interviews to do all over the league, that he has decided not to coach in the NFL this year while he focuses on 2026. And then they added, by the way, I think it was Pelissero, who does a good job, but he added, like, he is expected to be one of the top names in the 26 cycle.
Is that what he expects?
I wonder where you're getting your information.
I've taken myself out of consideration for dating Claudia Schiffer. I'm out of consideration. I've removed my name from the consideration list. I'll be focusing on future supermodels. They're not interested in you. They don't want you. They don't want you. You're not a candidate.
The kid on the debate team
is
taking his name out of consideration to take cheerleader number one to prom.
Yeah.
You know, like.
That is one of my favorite things where it's like, I just want everyone to know. There are no jobs left. That's not just everyone can rest easy. I am not considering your job
right
now. I'm not. I'm moving on to other things.
I'm going to go tell CK in the break that I am not interested right now in talking about a race. Not interested.
Not interested in it.
It's not something I want to talk about.
Is it on the table right now for you? No. But you're expected to be getting one in after the next cycle.
Of course.
Major.
I'll be focusing on my race for next year.
Yeah, that's what we'll do.
When everybody knows I'm going to be the most sought after guy out there.
You'll be very sought after. Oh, that's so precious.
I thought that was hysterical.
That's a great presser. That's a great little release.
If you're Mike McCarthy, you could take some solace in knowing the Cowboys decided not to bring you back and then hired someone who is less qualified and probably less deserving of that job than you are. I mean, I always have a little bit of a soft spot for McCarthy because all he does is win everywhere in the regular season. I believe he's been to the playoffs 13 of his 18 seasons.
Feels like it, yeah, at least.
As a head coach, and everyone acts like he can't walk and chew gum. And I think it's mostly because he's fat and like not a great-looking guy. And that no one ever talks about that, but like if he looked like Matt LaFleur or Sean McVay, I don't think he'd be as made fun of.
Interesting.
Yeah, I think it's that he's overweight and he's just not like one of these handsome head coaches. So automatically he's got that working against him, but regardless, hilarious headline.
Yeah. That's my favorite part is the delusion there. Yeah. Like that is as tone deaf a statement as you can offer to anybody. The key takeaway now, whether you think he can coach or not, I actually think he's perfectly decent. He could be a good fit in a lot of programs that need to just be normal and like to behave
well.
To me,
he'd be an upgrade over like 15 head coaches.
Yeah, like if he went to the Raiders or a couple different places, he'd be a good culture builder. You could do just fine. Nobody wanted you. Never forget that part. Any statement that you're going to offer that no one was interested. And I get that feeling. I've had zero interest about a lot of things in my life. But you don't get to release a statement afterwards being like, I'm not interested at all. I'll be interested next year when you guys, I'm sure, will have changed your minds.
All right, I want to talk about something out of the NBA. All right, so normally, and certainly recently during the Commanders' run, we have been locked in on the NFL. But I just found this to be fascinating when I was reading all about it last night. And I actually think it will be a really good conversation to get perspectives on both sides from here on the phones. Now, how this became public, I don't really know. I think what happened was the wife of Bradley Beal, who we know a little bit just tangentially from being around here in D.C., she was very active on social media. Her name is Kamaya Adams, now Kamaya Adams Beal. But I believe she took to social media to complain about an interaction she had had with a fan, and then that led to Bradley Beal having to talk about the interaction publicly with the media in the locker room. But I think that maybe it was noticeable, and I don't know this. Darius, I'll tag you in if you have more info. I think what happened was like he was in a huddle with the team and saw that his wife was getting into it with someone. And that there was like a back and forth between a fan and his wife, and maybe some
security was involved.
Security or staffer had stepped in. Mm-hmm. And Beal, I'm married, I have children. His kid is there, his wife is there. Obviously was like, screw this basketball game thing. Let me go see what's going on with my better half. And so based on that, it became a bit of a thing. Then she took to social media to explain what happened. Then he was asked about it in the locker room. Details about right there, Darius?
Yes, that'd be all correct, including that his son was crying as well. So he saw his son. Well, I actually don't know which
son
it was.
He has two kids. One of them's name is Deuce.
But yeah, the son was crying.
Or
so
Deuce
that was
is Jason Tatum's kid.
I'm not sure.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah, Deuce is Jason Tatum's
okay,
kid.
I just remember his kids were around a lot. They're very cute. I love them. They were at all the Wizards games, sitting courtside.
Adorable kids.
Yes, very, very cute. And now I saw that the kid is 6 years old, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So the kid is there crying. The mom is getting into it with a fan. Beal sees this and goes, oh, hell no. And he kind of walks over to deal with it, right? So before I read what his wife wrote on social media, he was asked about it after the game. So let's start there. This is Beal with reporters after he left the huddle to go tend to his wife, who's getting into it, it seems like, with a fan.
I mean, you got to ask her because, I mean, I almost left the huddle and 30 seconds left in the fourth. In front of some guy just heckling and kind of being an ass. And my wife was pretty calm about it. But then, like, my son's right there. She's not going for none of that. So, I mean, it didn't matter if it was her, if it was my brothers, it was my mom, my dad, my best friend. It didn't matter who it was. Somebody was going to respond. Social media, I'm not even on social media, so I don't even know what she said. She probably said some I'm sure.
Wasn't too well.
But for the most part, man, I just, you know, we all, my family knows, like, they're my biggest support system. They know what to put out, what not to put out, you know, and to be respectful of the team and everything of that nature. So, I mean, you can pull her aside and ask her.
I mean, how much did that, I mean, how much were you even paying attention to what was being said to you? Because, I mean, I guess.
I don't know what was being said. That's what I'm saying. Like, all I see is my wife and my son crying on the front row and my wife turning around yelling at somebody. And that's never good. You know, family comes before any of this basketball. So, I just want to make sure that she was good. And once the security was taken care of, I'm like, we're good. So.
All right, so Beal, thoughtful, given his, this is his perspective on what he saw from the huddle, basically. Mm-hmm. So when I saw that, and I saw that first, that was the first thing I saw was this on Twitter. And I'm like, oh, man, what the heck did this fan do? And I'm going, this person must have gone up and attacked verbally his wife. Just, there's a kid and a wife there, and you know it's Bradley Beal's wife and Bradley Beal's kid, and he's having a bad season, and he makes all the money. And so you were just a jerk, and you went up and started screaming at them. And then I saw what his wife said happened, so I'm going to read that to you right now.
Mm-hmm.
This is from her social media. I usually ignore nonsense, as I like to leave the circus to the clowns. But let's clear this up. Being a fan is fine. Boo, you suck comes with sports. But disrespect is another thing. During the game, a Suns fan, in quotes, spent the entire night heckling my husband. It got so bad, I sent my kids away in the third quarter after multiple people asked if we were okay and asked if I wanted them to say something. The breaking point came in the fourth when my kids were back and the fan yelled, trade this bum-ass Beal for Jimmy Butler. So the guy yelled, trade him for Jimmy Butler, but called him a bum-ass, right? My six-year-old, with tears in his eyes, asked why someone would say that about his dad. So at that point, security had to intervene, or I was going to. Athletes are human. They have families. Be a fan, but keep it respectful. Cause, if we keep it real, most talking crazy behind a keyboard or not in someone's face would be the first to ask for a picture outside. Hope this clears things up. Back to enjoying my day with my family. Heart emoji. Now, I agree with the end there. Almost all of these fans who are taunting and chanting during the game and cursing and yelling at guys, if they bumped into them at the CVS like a mile down the road on their way home, they're definitely asking for a picture.
Oh my gosh, that's Bradley Beal.
Yeah. That's Beal, whatever. So, I have a take on this that I think is going to surprise you a lot. Because I am team like decorum and all these things, right? I would tell you first that this fan is a jerk. Because it's just a way to conduct yourself that I don't believe in.
Mm-hmm.
The loud cursing in a public setting, the yelling and screaming at players and calling them bums or using any kind of profanity, especially, I don't know if he knew this was his wife or kid, but around them, that's not very cool. Period. Here's my take. This is so soft. I'm sorry that a fan who paid a bunch of money is yelling. By the way, not racially awful things, not terrible things about Brad Beal's character. They're basically saying he's bad at basketball and they want him traded. They're a jerk. That's what happens at a game. That's what people in the crowd who are drinking do. If you don't like it, don't sit there. Go to a suite. Go to an area where the families can sit. Every team provides an opportunity for people to go sit somewhere. You don't think that a guy that makes $50 million a year from the team, I'm not saying buying a suite, but I'm saying that he can't talk to someone with the team and go, hey, man, look, it's a rough year. People don't like me very much right now. I'm not playing very well. Can my wife and kids sit in a suite somewhere so they don't have to deal with this? Every single time Kirk Cousins' family went to a game, they sat in the same suite because his kids and wife hated so much hearing after every incompletion interception that he's a loser and he's the worst ever and he sucks and he's overpaid. Every parent, every family member deals with this at every game they ever go to. This is so common and so normal. I can't believe this became like a national story, and there are people coming out to suggest that this guy, the person in the stands, who is a jerk, was like way over the line. Like that's where the line is now. Not like LeBron's getting someone kicked out of a game because he's talking about, you know, death threats or whatever. Now you're yelling, this guy sucks, trade his ass for Jimmy Butler, and my kid's crying, so you don't get to do that? Take your kid home and watch in your living room. This is unbelievable to me.
So my first entryway into the story was with people talking about it. I missed kind of in real time what was going on, and you would have thought that this guy, whoever he is, the heckler, I don't care about him or you know any aspect of it, was addressing these things to Beal's wife.
Exactly.
And the child. And I'm
trolling
going,
them.
And I'm going, oh my God, what a cuff him and stuff him. Let's let the process play out. And I hope it ends with a gavel slamming and some time away from people.
You go up to the wife and say, your husband's the worst. You look at the little six-year-old cute little boy and go, your dad's a bum. Trade him for Jimmy Butler.
So the way that the shouty shows the people were talking about it is like as if this like, you know, drunken, boorish, horrible being is frothing at the mouth going, I found the family and I'm going to yell at them. He actually is advising a pretty good move. Phoenix should consider that if Miami will. I bet you they won't because they don't want a guy that's missed 40% of the team's games and is having the worst season of his career. I'm sorry. Sucks that that happened. All avoidable. You already touched on it. Very easy to control that.
Yeah.
What is happening, have an acknowledgement of the reality. If you are on a 10-day contract and your family's just there to see you play and you can't afford the suite, I get it, man. It sucks. You're going to be out with the riffraff. There's a reason I don't take my kids to the bleachers when the Phillies are in town. I'm going to be next to a bunch of Philly guys, and we're going to hear terrible language. I don't do that. See what I'm saying? Like I would love for it to be corrected. I'd love for no one to curse in public. But there's also an understanding that I'm not going to walk down the dark alley by myself at 2 o'clock in the morning. I'd love for these people that are about to mug me to not and have a light beam come down and nothing but righteousness in it, and they figure out, oh, maybe I shouldn't injure this person for his wallet.
Right.
But I'm also not going to take the turn.
Well, I would also just say, and I know that you're not saying it's analogous, but like this is not the fan version of mugging either. Like to me, whatever the line we want to draw is for what fans should be able to do and where the line of that's unacceptable. I've talked about this a couple times with the NBA. I am massively a believer in anytime someone throws something, when you dump popcorn on Russell Westbrook, when he's walking down the tunnel, whatever, boot them forever.
Forever.
Every person who's ever stepped one foot on any floor, court, field, I'm the first one. Everyone's like, oh, you're no fun. Beat that person to within an inch of their life. They knew not to be there and they did it. I have no empathy for them. They suck. When Bobby Wagner hit that dude who was running around on the field,
yeah,
I thought it was the greatest thing that had ever happened. I wish he would have taken off his helmet and Miles Garrett him in the nose. Okay? Like, these people should not be on the field. I get it. The line should not be that I can't yell. I'm not going to do this because I'm not a loser. But you can't yell from your seat, bum ass B, trade him. Because someone's parent or lover or kid might hear it, move. I was at a high school football game, okay? My wife's brother coaches high school football. I was at a game, and one of the parents of the kids was like this big buff guy, right, who's like just straight out of the gym, nothing but testosterone. He had something to say about every play and how terrible the coaches were and, you know, everything. Now, meanwhile, the coach, his niece and nephew, my kids, are sitting here next to me, right next to this guy. And they keep looking over and they're like, why is he talking about him that way? You know, why is he talking about, you know, my relative? And so when they went to go get, my wife was like seeing what's happening, and she just kind of walked them to go get food and drinks for a while. And while they were away, I said, hey, man, just so you know, I was like, this is his niece and nephew here. They got the signs, you know, that, with his name on it. I was like, you can do whatever you want to do, but I just wanted to let you know that. He's like, oh, sorry. And then as soon as they came back, he kept doing it. We moved.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't have some big brouhaha when security was involved. I didn't take to social media, leave the huddle so we could talk about it. We got our fat asses up, and we walked to the other side of the bleachers. This guy sucks. We won't be near him. To me, his beautiful wife and cute kids could sit anywhere. Like, this is so wild to me that the controversy was this. I, like you said, when I first heard about it, I'm like, oh, another example of a maniacal fan not knowing where the line is. I don't think that's what this is at all.
This is the ultimate in entitlement, where somebody believes.
But don't you believes, think we're trending
that way? Oh, dude, like, it's the NBA, yes.
In the NBA, especially with like this whole, like, she used the word disrespect. Like, you're not allowed to disrespect the players. You can't yell terrible things. Like, there are certainly things you shouldn't be allowed
to
say.
Of course,
but you, where does that line stop? Well, apparently at wanting a guy traded and yelling it because my kid's nearby and heard it.
Well, but that's my point, is the entitlement part of this is a protective bubble needs to exist around me at all times where I can't hear the bad thing. I can't be subject to any negative at any point in time. And I'll hide behind this idea that it's disrespect or this was over the line. And again, I don't love that. I have a six-year-old. The idea that he would be upset because if someone, you know, overhears someone who hates my guts on the radio, like if you run into some kid at Little League and they're like, that's Danny Ruggiero's kid. Well, he sucks.
I got new rules on Twitter, by the way. No one can say anything mean to me because my kid's on Twitter. No.
You know, so but it's the idea that this bubble has to exist no matter where I am or what's happening, which is unrealistic and frankly unfair to everybody else. And I guess the point I'm making is I'm sorry that happened. I don't relish in the idea that a kid was upset that somebody was saying mean stuff about his dad, but you can control what you see and hear to, you know, if you're not really ready to have those kind of conversations just yet, right? That's a luxury box. That's staying at home. There's a million different things. I'm sorry that it happened.
Yeah.
But the idea that now the narrative is this dark-hearted fan is miserable. How dare he be upset that this underachieving would-be saver, to put Phoenix over the top, has missed 15 games as they're languishing in eighth place in the Western Conference, treading water, going nowhere. Like, I'm sorry that you're upset about that. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? But like, it's so absurd to me, the discussion around it.
$50 million a year. $50 million. A five-year, $250 million contract. His family should have a suite at every game.
Mm-hmm.
That would be the first way to handle this. I wouldn't want my family hearing people talking bad about me all the time. Maybe they like to sit right down on the floor or be close or whatever. If that's the case, I respect that. You're going to hear things. That's something we talk about every day on the way to the game. Hey, people are going to be yelling about daddy. You know that. I'm not saying it's easy for a six-year-old to hear it. But again, I don't really have a good solution for you other than not being around the fans with the alcohol. I wonder, too, like, what else is unacceptable? Now, is this guy a jackass for taunting his own player the entire game, if that's what he was doing? Yes, I would say so.
Yeah, cursing in public, honestly, that's not cool. I'm not endorsing that
children
by any stretch
around,
of imagination.
Screaming, absolutely. I think that's a loser behavior. You're not a grown-up, whatever. But at the same time, like if at the end of the game, Beal turns the ball over three times in the last 90 seconds, which he's done a couple times here, if he did that in Phoenix and this guy loses his mind and starts screaming about, oh, he's not worth the money, we got to get rid of him, just like in a short burst right at the end of the game and the kid hears it, is that a bridge too far too? Is he not allowed to do that? And some of the people I really respected have come out afterwards going, you know, this, the way fans are talking these days is like, oh my God. The same sport though where we're getting fans routinely kicked out who afterwards are going, all I did was heck, like, boo him, basically, you know? And it's like, we're stopping the game and dragging refs over and pointing people out. It's just, I think we need to watch where that line is. Because to me, the line can't be here. The line can't be that a player wants a guy traded and yells about that, and my kid heard it and got sad, so now it's a big deal, and he's the bad guy.
Yeah, what should happen is, security should say, hey, you, whatever your take is, that's fine. Don't curse. This is a public forum. There's a lot, not a forum, but there's a lot of people around. There's kids around. It's families. You're now making the whole thing about you. You can have a view that the player should be traded,
yeah.
Which he should be, by the way. Phoenix should be desperate to do that. I actually would advise that. Give me a call. I'll try to help you. But cursing the way that you did, that's a bridge too far. Do it again. We'll have to escalate this. It'll be more serious.
Would you even say to him something like, hey, his wife and kid are right here. They don't love hearing this.
Whether I don't know that security even has to do that at that point. Like, whether they're, I don't know if they know or not. You know what I mean? Like, I necessarily need the guy in section 410 to do it, the person sent by me. Like, all I want is to be able to take my kid to a game, not have someone screaming and cursing.
But you're not talking about Beal's wife. You're right. Saying a person.
In general, a person.
But I'm saying your point is there should be no issue with the fan based on his proximity to the wife and kid.
Right. I mean, to me, it's a cursing issue. If you're able to say, trade this guy for Beal, I'm sick of it. Message delivered. There should be no harm. Like, that's fine. I'm sorry. Like, that needs to be protected at all costs. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not even talking about, like, just in this game or this team or, like, just the country. Like, we got to be able to keep that and hold it and hold on to that. I'm so sick of this. Trade him for Jimmy Butler. We got to be able to deal with that. If we can't stay inside and wait for the meteor. If we can't handle that, let's not do anything else. Let's put our heads in the sand and wait.
Yeah. And maybe we don't bring our six-year-olds and sit in the crowd. Again, I can't tell you how many spouses of players I've had a conversation about this kind of thing with. It's constant. Constant. When Kirk was back here with, you know, Atlanta and had just been benched or whatever, I asked him, I'm like, hey, I know the kids came. Like, where are they? And he's like, oh, they're up in the suite. You know, we're back in our old suite. We don't really do the crowd thing at this point. You know, they hear too many things they don't like about me or whatever. You know, it's that kind of, every player deals with this everywhere, constantly. This is not the first time. I want to open up the phones on this. What do you guys think? 800-636-1067. Do you have any issue like Beal did or his wife did with what the fan was doing? Do you think this is a case of just a soft reaction? Grant and Danny on the Fan.
You gotta ask her, because I mean, I almost left the huddle and 30 seconds left in the fourth in front of some guy just heckling and kind of being an ass. And my wife was pretty calm about it, but then, like, when my son's right there, she's not going for none of that. So, I mean, it didn't matter if it was her, if it was my brothers, it was my mom, my dad, my best friend. It didn't matter who it was.
Welcome back to Grant and Danny on the Fan. I think this is a compelling sports conversation. The role of the fan and where the line is, when they go over it, when they are taunting players. Bradley Beal's wife and children were at the game. There was a heckling fan in the stands in Phoenix. It turns out that security had to get involved, that the wife and the kid were crying, and Beal saw this from the huddle and basically left the huddle to go over and see what was going on with his family. And then after the game, we found out via a statement on social media from his wife that basically it wasn't though the fan came up and harassed them as much as he was yelling that he wanted Beal traded and calling him a bum, and the kid got upset and the wife got upset. And to me, this just seems like something that is pretty avoidable if you move or if you go sit in a suite or in a different area of the stadium, and that we can't allow to now be part of the fabric of, like, this ongoing discussion that fans are going too far in their relationship with players.
I think that's the key part to me. Not that this guy's completely innocent, talking about the heckling fan. Again, you curse and you're yelling, kind of making a jackass of yourself.
I think this guy stinks.
Yeah, you gotta wear that. But I need him not to be treated. It's like a jaywalker versus a murderer. There's a reason they have different punishments. You know what I mean? Like, this is the jaywalking of fan offenses, where you go, hey, one warning will do it. Don't curse again. But other than that, express your views. the idea that this is the same as him like harassing her and the kid or saying something that, you know, is absolutely objection worthy is laughable. And my problem with all this is that's how it's being treated. Like, again, I don't have great examples, but watching the shouty shows, and this is how I kind of came to the story, is that people were talking about this, like, this is another in a long line of way over the line fan offenses where you put him in, you know, the same guy that tried to run onto the court, the same guy that
was on Westbrook,
or, you know, he's spitting at this player's wife or whatever. No. This is a slap on the wrist. Hey, man, don't be a jackass. Stop cursing. So that everybody can hear you, there's children and a bunch of people present that don't really want to hear that and shouldn't have to. So reprimand, no problem. But the idea that this is as grave an offense as some of the others, I cannot believe my ears and eyes.
Yeah, I think also to kind of double down on that, if there was no real reaction to this, like if this happened, the wife posts on social, Beal addresses it with the media, and there's no fallout afterwards or whatever, I don't know if it gets across my desk, so to speak. But to see everyone then acting like, well, this fan needs to be not allowed back. You know, the thought pieces and the, you know, how these poor players are being mistreated by fans. This doesn't go in that category. Sorry, it just doesn't. Let's go to Matt in D.C. What's up, Matt?
Hey, Grant. Thanks for taking my call, you guys. So where is the line? Like, so, you know, I say I was at the game last night and I'm sitting next to this guy. I've got to put up with it. I'm not related to Bradley Beal. I don't expect him to come up into the stands and defend me. But, you know, there is a couple of things here. So if you know, there's the cursing. There's the saying that he's a, you said bum just now, but apparently it was a word for a female dog, which is, you know, there is a line where it's like, you know, Bradley Beal is he's doing a job. He may not be doing it well. They may have better options. He's getting paid a ton of money, but I mean, I don't think it's allowable to refer to him in such derogatory personal terms. I mean, other fans don't want to see that. You know, I heard on the show people deriding Eagles fans, which is certainly, you know, valid.
Yep.
Though you can't blame all Eagles fans for the actual.
Let me agree with you on something. You're talking about screaming profanities, okay? Which, for the most part, people do at games all the time and nothing happens. But I agree with you. That should not be kind of the expectation that that's allowed. But that is different than what we're talking about, right? Which is to say that, like, he went too far in his treatment toward the player. Like, if you're a guy, or in this case, just a mom with her kid, you don't want to hear that. But when you're saying, where is the line? The line needs to be a lot further than a fan yelling that a guy should be traded and that's not allowed.
That's not what he did, though. I mean, he was referring to Brad as, you know, in very personal, derogatory.
Yes, we said the profanity is the issue. We agree.
You know, it's you know, if I showed up to one of your, like, away things, right? And I've been dying to tell you this. I took great offense, Grant, when you said that Creed was a better movie than Rocky. All right? I mean, that's
Creed is a better movie than Rocky.
That's tough. Yeah. But your point's good. Go ahead.
And it's like, if I would go, you know, it's like, if I'm like, Grant, you bum, you don't know a good movie. Like, you know, it's like, Rocky's the best picture, you know. But then I started to, like, am I allowed just to come and buy a beer at your away thing and, like, scream at you?
Right. If you curse, you know, if you're disruptive to the show, but, right. Like,
but again, but also, it's a terrible analogy, respectfully, because at a game that for 100 years, fans cheer and boo and scream, and that's very normal. At a radio show where people are listening and where the audio gets picked up on a microphone, that's in no way allowed for you to scream over the top of everything we're doing. But at a game, are you allowed to scream? Yes, you are allowed to scream at a game. Again, the profanity is the problem.
Right. The guy should have been reprimanded, received a warning. Hey, don't do that.
But his take is, that's too much. That's not nice to Bradley Beal. I just think we're getting way too soft with what is and is not allowed to be done at a game from a fan standpoint in terms of the interaction. Like, and again, this is not a guy that's going up and, like, getting nose to nose with Beal and calling him the word. He's seven rows deep screaming in the stands. He's annoying, but that is not the same as LeBron getting a guy kicked out who I don't even know what the guy did, but you know, called him a racial term or whatever. It's not the same thing. I'm sorry.
Yeah, to me, it's pretty simple. The thing that you get to hide behind is the foul language when you're sort of addressing this. And what I mean by hide behind is that it turns it from this guy just expressing his views to, okay, well, now he's cursing. But people are taking that and going, disrespect. They're disrespecting my family. Nobody's doing any of that. This person is behaving boorishly, should be warned. Don't curse in public. Other than that, desiring a player that's underachieving to not be on your team anymore, again, that sentiment is what's bothering the people. And they're hiding behind it's family disrespect or something, which is very nebulous and unprovable, and the cursing. Again, we agree on the cursing part, but the rest of it is because you didn't want to hear it. You don't want your six-year-old. Again, I wouldn't want my six-year-old to have what some of you people listening right now think about me. That wouldn't be very much fun for him. But comes with the territory.
Yeah, my six-year-old probably is not going to be sitting there in the stands for people to yell and scream at me. We're going to go to an area where you don't hear as many mean people talking about daddy, like a player's lounge, which is available to you for your family at every game via every single team ever. Charles is in D.C. What's up, Charles?
Grant, that kind of you kind of stole my point a little bit, because I was going to say, how would you react if your wife happened to be at a location where you were doing a radio show with Danny, and there's just some guy talking very aggressively, constantly talking aggressively. Now you're doing a radio show. You yep. have no idea what's going on. You just so happen to look up and you see your wife crying. You're not going to go see.
Well, I have no
on.
Problem with how Bradley Beal.
Oh, 100%. I want to make that clear. Like yeah. if I'm sitting there in like Beal's case, he looks up, he sees his wife, his kid,
no,
security,
a perfectly
yeah,
reasonable
that's
thing.
That's a normal thing.
That's not my issue at all. But I already told you how I'd react. I've been in this situation with someone talking trash about my brother-in-law, and my kids are sitting next to me, and I'm like, hey, man, just so you know, these are his niece and nephew that are holding signs supporting him, and he kept doing it because he's a loser. And so we moved. You know, that's what we did. And in that case, there's nowhere for me really to go other than to the other side of the high school football field. But Bradley Beal could have his family sit in a suite every game. He could go to the players' lounge. I mean, the expectation that while we're at the game, nobody can be yelling bad things about my husband and his dad is that's come on, Charles. That's not reasonable.
I guess my point would be like at that point. I mean, at that where is she going to go? Like, I mean, what was
I've
what,
given
what
you a few options? There's a players' lounge, a family lounge where you could go.
Would it be so is she supposed to get up and go to the lounge after the aggressive person that talked to her slaps or put his hands on her?
No, he's not talking to her.
He never did anything.
Charles, that's the point. He's not talking to her. He's just yelling as a person in the stands.
Who's frustrated with Beal's play.
If he was yelling at her personally or the kid, my reaction to this would be very, very different. That's not what happened. She said that he was just heckling Beal near them and they could hear him.
Okay, let me ask you this. Do you have a problem with Beal leaving the huddle, going to address to see what the issue
is? No, 100%
no.
His family's in danger. Okay. Yeah, in his mind, his family's being... He didn't know that someone was just doing a normal thing and that his wife and kid are sad about it. He probably thought what I thought when I first heard this, which was that someone is harassing them.
Okay.
Yeah, appreciate you.
Thanks, dude.
800-636-1067 is the number. Double Play is next. It's a Wizards Wednesday. We're giving away tickets to the Wiz. Coming up at 4 o'clock ahead of the Beltway Blitz. Next hour, 4:25, Dan Snyder is angry about the Commanders' success. We didn't really react to that. We want to talk about the ESPN story that came out over the weekend. Also, Jaden Daniels' jersey, number one in sales, all of sports this year. What does that mean for the Commanders' name and its staying power? We'll get to those things next hour. But we've been talking about Bradley Beal's wife taking great issue with a heckler in the stands. His six-year-old son was very upset. And the reaction around the country has been that this fan went too far by screaming that Beal's a bum and that he should be traded. We agree that profanity is bad and that he shouldn't be screaming and cursing at the game. But the idea that a heckler screaming from the stands is too much because the family heard it is just, to me, that can't be the line now. That, like, if my wife or kid is at the game and hears someone saying something bad about me, that's a bridge too far because I'm a person. I'm not just a player. Like, yes, you are. And you make $50 million, and this comes with the territory. People troll us online all day long. Mm-hmm. It's part of it. My wife's not on social media anymore. Can't be. My brothers, they're off social media. They can't be. They see stuff they don't like, and this comes with the territory. We deal with one millionth of what these guys deal with. We also make one millionth of what they make, yeah. Probably. it's not fun. These guys are jerks.
I'm sorry. Their expectations when you sign a huge deal and you're billed as a savior. You know, that's part of it. Sorry.
Let's go to Colton in Alexandria. What's up, dude?
Hey, Grant. Hey, Daniel. What's going on, boys?
Hey, bud.
Hey, so first time caller. Actually, I work as.
Where'd you work?
So I might have a little bit of a different take on this because, like, my parents raised me a little different. My dad, my mom, I was raised in bowling alleys and AA meetings. So I heard curse words all the time. And I'd be like, Dad, he said a bad word. And my dad'd be like, yep, sure did. That's life. Move on with it.
That's right. I sure did, buddy.
Don't say it.
Yeah, don't do it at school or nothing.
Yeah, and I have a six-year-old and a four-year-old as well. And I raised them the same way. Of course, I don't try and cuss in front of my kids, but every now and then it slips and they're like, Dad, you said a bad word. And I'm like, yeah, I did. Don't you say it, you know? So in my mind, unless he's directly talking to her or her kid, that's the only way that I'd have a problem with it. Now, if he's talking adult things, you know, like that kind of stuff,
sure.
Then yeah, that I don't want my kids hearing that, but a cuss word, my kids will be just fine.
So I am probably softer on that part than you are, if I'm being honest,
mm-hmm.
Just because, like, I don't want to hear curse words at press conferences, on television from coaches. I think there's a time and a place. We've talked about this a lot. So respectfully, like, we'll disagree on that part even a little bit, in that I'm more on the side of the people that are bothered by this fan, I guess. But where we completely agree, and I love the call, is were you addressing her or the children? If the answer is no, we're keeping this thing moving. Someone's walking over and saying, please stop yelling and cursing. You're being inappropriate in public. I don't know how much further you go than that.
Right.
But you try to calm him down. Other than that, like, when I saw the whole fallout of this, I thought, oh my God, a guy went up to a player's wife and kids? Like, what is the world coming to? Nope, that's not what happened. He was just screaming and they
heard
it.
And we need to have a separation for when something like that, unfortunately, does happen.
Yeah,
then when something escalates to that, oh my God, yes, kick you out of the arena. You never get to go again, and I'd love some jail time to be attached to your name.
Todd, Rockville, what's good?
Hey there. You know, I just feel like somebody who makes $50 million a year needs to grow a thicker skin and put up with it. I feel like that comes with that exorbitant salary. I'll also mention I'm a father of a six-year-old, and I feel like take them to a sports event, they're going to hear language that I don't really want them to hear, so I'm in control of that.
Yeah, there is this bar vibe in a sense, right? I mean, you kind of make that decision when you take your kids out to public where a lot of people are going to be inebriated. They're blaring music, right? I mean, you go to a game, like, people are decked out, looking pretty, look, you know. It's not like going to, out to dinner or like to the church service. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, you're going to be around people that are not like-minded necessarily. You're going to hear and see some things maybe you don't want to. Let's go to Charles in Rockville. What's up?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Yeah, this couldn't happen to a better story about a more soft guy than Bradley Beal. But besides the point, I'm a heckler all the time. I focus on referees for the most part. So anybody who goes to the game with me, football, basketball, Terps games specifically, I give the refs the business because most of the time they deserve it. And they don't make any money. But if they make a bad call, I'm going to let them know. But I never curse. I call them a bum, bad call blue, bad call ref, and I wait till the stadium's quiet, and I yell because I have a big, loud voice, and I yell as loud as I can. Now, my girlfriend doesn't like it. My kids don't like it. But I don't curse. And so that's what I do. And, you know, Bradley Beal's soft. He's always been soft. And now we see how soft they are emotionally, too. Thanks for taking my call.
So I'm out on hecklers, for the record. Like, I would, sitting next to that guy would not be very fun for me. Because I do find, like, it's just so, what's the word? I don't know. Just like,
you can say it's not for you. I think that's
it's
okay.
It's unnecessary, but like, there's a word I'm trying to think of that I can't pull, personality wise, where it's just like, oh, come on, really? Like, do you have to be that guy? But to each his own. He paid for his ticket.
Sure.
If you're not cursing, you're allowed to annoy people loudly, I guess.
Right. I mean, again, that's the issue I have is that would be treated in some people's eyes as the same as ran up to the wife, yelled at her, or any kind of physical altercation. They're very different. They're distinct. And that's what I want to keep. I want to make sure that we keep that division. We're way, way, way over on this side is a guy chirping the referee because he called a block instead of a charge. And then way over on this side is if someone else like initiated another malice in the palace. You know what I mean? Like, there's a giant Grand Canyon-style chasm between the two.
Sean Merriman's getting us ready for Super Bowl 59 today at 5:30. We'll talk about which Commanders have to elevate their game in 2025 for the team to make a leap as well. All coming up on G&D. Wizards tickets, top of the hour, to be given away next.